Robert Allen. See, I know his middle name.
Robert Allen.
I'm not sure Robert Allen. Okay.
Me too. Well, let me say it's good to be here tonight. And I call him Ronnie.
Everybody. Call me sir.
That's what we'd all be running around playing, and you'd hear, Ronnie? Ronnie? It ain't Ron. Brother Ron. It's Ronnie. Well, like I say, it's good to be here today, tonight, and to kind of echo those sentiments of what Brother Ron was talking about in that song. I just, to be quite honest, I'm pretty fatigued and tired in body. I preached this morning at Victory, and we had a pretty good service. Not because of the preaching, but because of the Spirit of the Lord. And as we started the service, there was just a whole, and I shared this morning, just a whole gamut of emotions that I was taken through. And Brother Ron will understand some of this that I'll tell you. But they started the song service with a song by the title of Going Home. And if you, and I know Brother Ron, he understands, but if you've been around the Pattersons very much, you're probably going to get sung to by one of them at some point in time or another. But years ago, the song Going Home was a staple of my aunts and uncles and my grandparents as they traveled around and sang. It was one of my granddad's favorite songs. And I can remember my grandmother, who was without legs through diabetes, very poor eyesight, if any, and her singing that song, and my Aunt Linda, which has gone on to be with the Lord, and my grandmother and my granddad would oftentimes sing, I believe it's the second verse that starts off, now the twilight has faded, and the day soon shall end, and I get homesick the farther I roam. I used to listen to my grandmother and her frail voice sing, cracking and breaking up. It was a joy to hear that song because it brought back such fond memories and touched my heart. Well, then the very next song that they sang was When I've Traveled My Last Mile. Maybe outside of what a meeting, that was my earthly father's favorite song. Song that he requested to be sang at his funeral. So, like I said, the Lord was just running me through a gamut of emotions and just blessing my soul this morning. We got done singing that, and they decided to sing the Days of the Week song. And I'll just tell you that my special day is on Sunday. And it's my whole claim in life to everything that's anything about me is what God done for me on that Sunday morning in saving my soul. But as they begin to go through the days of the week, I was sitting in a position where I could see many of them standing up. And they come to Thursday, and it just blessed my heart when my youngest daughter stood. So thankful that she's been saved. She's here tonight. Don't mean to embarrass her or call her out, but That's a blessing. So as I sit there pondering what was transpiring, I was brought to reflect on four generations of Pattersons that have been trying to serve the Lord, have been saved by the grace of God, and it just blessed my heart. You know. So needless to say, I'm tired in body, but it's been a good day in the Lord. And I hope and pray that that continues tonight. And I'll tell Rhonda I won't be very long. So I told... What's that?
It was me this time.
Oh. was it my wife? Anyway, there's some history there. I preach quite frequently at the nursing home there in Gallatin, and we're under time constraints there because of the patients and lunch, so... Or I guess it's lunch that they're getting at that time. Yeah, it'd be lunch and getting ready. So it seems like I never get finished. So as I was preaching this morning, I said we had a pretty good service, so I got started a little bit late. And I didn't realize it was 12:30 and I was still preaching. So I won't be that long tonight. But I do have a thought upon my heart that I hope that will be beneficial to God's people. And you know, as you reflect upon the things of this world and the shape that this world's in, there's never been a time that I can recall. You know, you can read of some very troublesome times in the scriptures. But I'll just be honest, I don't know if anything quite compares to what the scriptures record as far as mankind being so backwards and away from God than what we're in today. So steeped in sin is His creation that it just amazes me that God has let this continue and it's not come back. And I know it's not for man or for us to question, and I don't question that. That's the business of God Himself. But while we're still here in this world, there's got to be something for us to do, or He would have come back. And that's kind of where my heart is lying tonight and my thoughts. I'm going to take a reading, and you see I wear them now too, out of the first chapter of the book of Daniel. And I'll just be honest, I really like the book of Daniel. I go there frequently just to read. And to read of the wonderful workings of the Lord in Daniel's life through this book. But I'm going to start with the third verse. It said, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And among those were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Michelle, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, and you'll recognize these names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Michelle of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love of the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine they should drink, and gave them pulse. And I'll stop my reading right there. And if I was to center my thoughts tonight, it would come from the 8th verse. And it being that but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And I guess the thought upon my heart tonight would be upon a purposed heart. A heart that's fit to serve the Lord. Now, we understand, to us that's been saved, that it's impossible for this world to serve a true and living God. Those that are separated from Him and lost and wayward, they cannot serve God. So the thoughts upon my heart will be to those that's of us that's been saved by the grace of God, that we need to purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves, but to serve the Lord. And as I begin to ponder these verses and think about the things that God would have for me to deliver tonight, it would be along those lines of a purposed heart. One that is willing to serve the Lord. The scriptures tell us that God is able of the stones and the rocks of the earth to raise up children that are able to bring Him honor and to bring Him glory. And if it would be to that cause, God would do that. But that's not what God intended for His creation. It was purposed from the beginning of time that mankind would be servants of a true and almighty God, and that we would live out our lives upon this earth serving Him and Him alone. That's why the scriptures, the commandments were given unto us, and the very first of them is that we should have no other gods before Him. There is none like Him, and I'll tell you, there is none in this earth that was ever dreamed of or thought of or even created by the works of men's hand that deserve honoring save God. is where it belongs. You know, this old world, they're beginning, they're getting it backwards. The scriptures warn us of these, about give lip service to a God, and they render their bodies to His service, but they never yield their heart. I dare tell you, there's even those among us that's been saved that never truly surrender to the cause of God and give their lives and hearts to Him where they can serve Him. Even some that's been saved do that. You know, I often wonder, and I'll just be honest, I'm thankful. It causes my heart to rejoice every time that a soul is redeemed by the wonderful working grace of God. But I'll tell you, it troubles my heart when some of these young ones that are converted fall off into a wicked world. You know, I've seen them. And I'm sure you have too. They get saved, and they're zealous for their service unto God for just a brief moment in time, and then they disappear into the darkness and blackness that is out there in the world. And I'll tell you, it's growing. That darkness and blackness is growing. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that sin doth abound in the hearts of men. Wicked, it's impossible for the heart of man to consider or to know the will of God. It's always the devil that's directing them within the confines of their heart in the wicked ways of the world. They never, excuse me, yield, you know, to the tender workings of the Spirit and of God. You know, the Bible talks about hardened hearts. You know, what is a hardened heart? It's a rebellious heart. Is what a hardened heart is.
It's a heart that rebels against the dealings or the workings of the Holy Spirit, impressing upon them through the directions of the Word of God and God Himself. They harden their heart against it
and against the Spirit. You know, it's a rare thing that we see the Spirit of God truly being poured out upon God's people, because even us that's been saved, well, our heart is a heart of flesh that can be cultivated and worked by God. We have a tendency to harden our hearts through the effects of pride that's within the flesh of man and within the minds of men. You know, a hardened heart is a rebellious heart. It's a rejective heart. It's a heart that is seared over. You know, if we continue turn a blind eye, our blind heart, that we, if we continue as God's people to continuously not heed the warnings that He's given us, and not look to Him for our understanding and our leadership and our guidance in our lives and in our services, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, our churches will continue to be in demise and diminish, and we'll see the lives as the scriptures tell us, of the very elect to be deceived and taken away by the wiles of the devil is what we'll have. You know, I'll tell you, we better be thankful for what we've got. We better be mindful of the Spirit of God and the workings of the Holy Spirit, because I'll tell you, of the Word of God and of the leadership or the Spirit of God having a free course upon the earth is the only thing that's keeping this world from running into a total amok and being so steeped in sin that you'll see even the vilest, the most wretched things going on. You know, it'll be way worse than it is today if we don't take heed. Excuse me. You know, so we need a purposed heart like Daniel. I'm thankful that we live within a country where we can worship according to the dictates of our heart. But I'll tell you, those dictates, we got them wrong. We got them wrong. And I'll tell you, the Lord's not happy. I'm not saying that we're steeped in deep air in doctrine. God forbid that we would ever get that way. But I'll tell you, when we begin to get prideful and our conscience begins to get seared over and we become a stiff-necked group of people and a group of people that's not willing to work for the Lord, and every time He impresses upon us to do some little service unto Him, that we turn our heads and look the other way, or we harden our heart and reject the leadership of the Spirit, I'll tell you, we're just going farther and farther down the road that the devil is carrying us on, is what it is. You know, one of the great, I guess I'd call it attributes, or characteristics of Daniel through the book of Daniel that I just find, I won't say so intriguing, but so impressive, as his ability to pray. You think about it. Daniel, I understand he had this ability to interpret visions and interpret dreams. And that's why he was found in such favor of the king. Because of his abilities. It tells us in the scriptures that he was favored above them all. And if you read at the end of this, and when the king looked upon them and he examined their countenance and the abilities of Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was amazed at the abilities that they had within them to work these wondrous works of an almighty God and to interpret dreams and reveal things unto the king so much that the king said, "Man, you guys are 10 times greater than all the others." Well, I'll tell you that if you want to see our churches grow and be 10 times greater than anything upon the earth, let's learn how to pray. Amen. Let's learn how to pray. You know, I'll tell you this, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know how to pray. You know how to pray. You know how to get a hold of the Lord, because it had to take place in your life for you to be saved.
Oh, we need to get back to them kind of prayers. Prayers of contrition and a brokenheartedness and humbleness.
Just like was in Daniel. And I'll tell you, One of the first things we need to do is to purpose in our heart. You know, one of the wisest men that God ever placed in my life was Brother Larry Taylor. Brother Ron knows him. And when I was very young in my ministry, and I would sit and talk to him, I asked him a question, or I made a statement to him one time about, you know, I really don't know how to pray. And he looked at me and he said, and he gave me the same answer. He said, yeah, you do. He said, you just don't realize you know how to pray. And he gave me the same scenario about when I was saved and having to have the ability to pray and reach out and touch the Lord in order to be saved. And I understood that. And I said, yeah, but so many times I get down to pray and I don't have anything to pray. I don't know what to say. And one of the wisest things he ever told me, and they were many that this elderly statesman in the scriptures taught me of, but he said, you know what? He said, ask the Lord to show you what to pray, and he'll put it in your heart. And I'll tell you, church, if we'll just ask God to put prayer up in our hearts, we'll have the most fervent and uplifting prayers that could ever be prayed. And we'll see lost people. No one had ever instructed me. You know, they had always instructed me, if you need anything, go to God. But I had never tied it to my ability to pray. I thought that was just a natural gift that come with being redeemed. But I'll tell you, our prayer life has to be cultivated and worked, that it might be enriched and profitable. Just like Daniel. Just like Daniel. You know, it tells us later in the book of Daniel, I think it's 3:10. I'm not positive on that. It's something in 10. But the Lord come to Daniel. The Lord come to Daniel. And he told him, he said, I've come to you because I have heard your words. I come to you because I have heeded your words. What's that telling you? I'll tell you, it's telling us that if we'll have a purpose heart, a heart set upon serving God and doing that which is right, he'll hear our prayers, and our sons and daughters will be brought to altars of repentance, and we'll see great grace poured out. You know, we need a purposed heart. We need a heart that's set up on serving the Lord. You know, excuse me. You know, I was pondering or thinking as I tried to gather my thoughts, and I'm very transparent when I stand and preach. I am very revealing of the interactions of my life and the way the Lord is dealing with me in my walk with Him. And I made the comment this morning in the message and the topic of my sermon this morning was about how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation. And I brought in the workings of grace and talked about the great and wonderful grace of God and how it works in our lives, and I'll tell you, they're lost people need the grace of God, but so do the children of God. We need His grace also to help us. We need sustaining grace to help us. But as I was thinking and pondering, as I said, I was transparent, and I made the comment that if it wasn't for great sustaining grace that God can deliver to His children that's been born again, that I would be so far backslidden in the service of God. And Brother Ron touched upon some of the indiscretions in my early life. And I'll tell you, a great number of them happened before I was ever saved, because I was saved later in life. But there were some that took place in my life after the point of redemption within me. But I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the great sustaining grace of God, I would be so steeped and deep in sin that you couldn't recognize me. You know, and as I was thinking, you know, one of my biggest faults, and I'm a pretty proud individual, there's a lot of, which I guess you'd call it, worldly pride that wells up within me from time to time. And I'll tell you, there's nothing within me to be proud of. Nothing within this flesh that you see that's worthy of having praise. And I'll tell you, the Scriptures tell us there's nothing within any of us that's been redeemed that is worthy of praise, save one, Jesus Christ, and the Father would send Him. They deserve it all. They deserve it all. But, you know, I thought, you know, when those moments of indiscretion rise up within me, where I begin to have that glimmer of pride, I was like, well, what's driving it? What's driving that pride? Because I sure don't want to be that way, you know. And it boils down to a verse that's recorded I'm terrible at quoting scriptures for verse, and it's in the book of Hebrews, but it's in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, but it deals with the fear of God, is what it deals with. I'm telling you, when the rebellious attitude begins to well up within God's people, it's because we don't truly fear God. You know, when I was young, and I'll tell off on me and Brother Ron a little bit. We both were very active in sports, and Ron's, well, I'm going to say several, but yet really he's just a few years older than me. But he's older than me. I'll just leave it at that. And I was a young man, and we had both went out for the wrestling team and at our respective high schools. And every time we would get together, we would begin, they called it grappling back then. We would begin to grapple and wrestle. And I thought I was a pretty mighty young man when I could beat Cousin Ron. I thought that was a great day for me. That was pride, and I'll tell you, that's what was welling up in me. So it's the nature of men to be prideful and to think themselves high and mighty. But I'll tell you, we're nothing but mere dust. That's had an application of the blood of Christ applied to our hearts. That's all we are. All we are. You know, we need to shun. Excuse me. This prideful man, this worldly man that wells up within us from time to time. You know what? You ain't got no clock. So, I don't know what time it is. Well, not that I guess that it matters. But we need to be fearful. The scriptures tell us it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a just God. Amen. You know, I shudder, I'm telling you, to think of the record that's being recorded in the life of Rob Patterson. You know, I hope and pray that we can all strive to be like the Apostle Paul and be found faithful in a few things. But I'll tell you, sometimes within my life, I wonder if I'm faithful in anything other than the fact that I believe in the only begotten Son of God and His redemptive power. That's something that will never be taken away from me. No matter how rebellious and hardened my heart may get, and wayward, or steeped in sin that I may become in this life, that blood is still flowing through my veins. It's my sincere desire and intent of my heart. And I'll tell you, I've been trying desperately to purpose my heart. And when I talk about purposing, it means to commit our hearts, to be diligent, to have a surrendered heart, one that's fit for the workings of the Lord. You know, the scriptures talk about having a stony heart, which is a hardened heart, a heart that can be hardened, and when we're redeemed, having a heart of flesh put in, one that can be cultivated and worked. So if our fleshly heart begins to get hardened, hey, that's because of us. It's us that's doing that. Oh, you know, it's, we need to return to the Lord.
Amen.
We need to turn back to Him. You know, I guess I'm out. I didn't really come this way to be an offense to you or to step on any toes, but I'm telling you, it's everywhere that you go. It's everywhere that you visit and sit in upon. People's hearts are not in the service of the Lord. You know where they're at? They're in the world. They're in the world. And I'll tell you, the devil will use the smallest and leastest of things to carry our hearts away from His service. You know, it doesn't have to be some great, wretched, and vile sin that's broadcast across the news. It could be just the simplest of things that the devil uses to distract our hearts. It's the smallest and simplest of things. You know, a sick child, me and my wife have often commented, and we've always made it a concerted effort when one of our children were sick, one of the other ones would get up and take the other two to church. You know, just a sick child can lead us in our hearts to carry our whole families away from the Lord. The whole family, you know, the Kingsman song excuses thing? The whole family stays home because one of the children are sick. You know, it's stuff like that. The small things that the devil is using to drag us away from the house of the Lord and taking our hearts away from His service. Just the small things is what He's using. I'll tell you, let's purpose our heart. If we'll purpose our heart like Daniel to serve God, and we'll You know what the scriptures say about our heart, about a purposed heart? He told us when he talked about David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. We need to be like David and like Daniel and have a heart like God. Have a heart like Jesus. One that's constantly. The only thing that concerned him, I tell you, he didn't even care about the food that they had to eat or where it would come from, but he was going to do the Father's will. Jesus purposed in his heart to do the Father's will. Is that not what we need to be? What we need to do? We need to purpose in our heart. I'm going to be done. I had a few more things, but I feel like the Lord's through with me. I appreciate you letting me come this way. I've enjoyed coming here. I'm thankful for the good liberty that I felt tonight. And, you know, my desire is for this church to just be busting at the seams the next time I come through. Just to be exploding with people within him. That's my desire for you. But let's purpose in our heart. Let's purpose in our heart, and we'll see it happen. So I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Ron.
That was a sobering message. Appreciate it. It's a challenge to all of us. I want to come around and shake his hand. Appreciate you for it. And thank you for coming. And if he's got more to prove, we want him to come back and preach some more. And maybe we'll have 2 glasses of water up here next time. We're out of water. I think you ran out of words. We'll just keep the water coming. All right. Let's stand and let's sing. Anybody else have anything on your heart? Let's purpose in our hearts to serve God to the fullness of his honor and glory.
Thank you.
this evening?
I ask that one fire department around it.
Amen.
Her mother and her grandmother had some issues, and grandmother won't let Mariah come to my house.
Amen. I sure hope so. Bless you, sister. Someone else.
I was very much thankful for saving us all. Thank the preacher for the message that he brought to us tonight. I don't know if, how to thank anybody else, but it, I plan on taking it home with you throughout this week and try to put in practice the things that he preached about. I noticed that Daniel purposed in his heart not to be defiled with the king's lineage. And the thought that came to me was, I need a purpose in my heart not to be defiled with the things of the world.
Right.
And you hit upon that. But I just appreciate you bringing the message.
Thank you, Brother Terry. Appreciate these words. Anyone else? This week, may the Lord watch over you.
We have enough to try our song.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. We'll have to share it. So.
All right. We'll be that before we've been dismissed.
Try the song today.
All right.
Well, I
just like
it. We didn't have to share
it. I've been drinking a lot. I haven't done that. Yeah, I'm good.
Don, I want you to come back if you can. Appreciate Clint. Appreciate Clint. Pray for Victory Church, all of our sister churches. Pray for Kelsey. Pray the Lord. Just help her. She's still alive.
No,
she's here now.
Back in school. Back in school.
All right. Let's pray. Pray for her. Anybody else? If not, stand together. Be dismissed. Remember, we've got to practice Tuesday. Tuesday is the phone practice. Wednesday night, prayer meeting. And remember, the service is next week. Flyers Wednesday. Okay? So what time do we need to be here? Six?
It's dark at six.
It's dark at six?
I'm going to be forward.
I'm seven.
Time to be forward Saturday.
5:30.
5:30. All right, if you can be here 5:30 Wednesday, that'd be good. All hearts and minds at liberty. Brother Terry, would you pray the benediction for us, please?
Father in heaven, Lord, the honor and glory be to your name.
Yes.
Lord, help us to give that honor and glory to you with us in a humble heart, tried spirit. Lord, worship you in truth and spirit. We ask the Lord to help us take these words that we've heard today homewards. Father, we pray that we, Lord, that our heart might be softened and guided by your Holy Spirit. We ask the Lord to hear the prayer of us today and night. Lord, help us with the palace and our eyes and ears. Mother and mother, grandmother, Lord, that you might resolve that situation. We ask the Lord to watch over each and every one of us. Lord, to hear all the prayer requests. Have mercy upon us and guide us. We ask the Lord to watch over us and to lead them. It's my request in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Because I'm